This is the January 16th, 2025 board meeting for the Respiratory Board.
2025 board meeting, and we will call to order this board meeting at 9:03. So starting off at the top, we'll do a call to order, which I just did, and we'll do a roll call.
Chairman Kagan.
Absent.
Vice Chair Crawford. Member Cota.
Aye, I'm here.
Member Easley.
Present.
Member Brimhall.
Present.
Member Leadley.
Present.
Member Maryland. Okay.
Thank you very much. And from here, we'll do a declaration of conflict of interest. Do we have any conflict of interest this morning? No? Okay. Moving right on. Any declaration of recusals? Okay. So at this time, do we want to skip the call to vote till the end, or do we want to kind of do it here?
That's 100% up to you. We can do it at the beginning and the end. We can wait to the end.
Okay, well, we can do a quick moment for a call to the public. This is just a moment where if we have any members in the audience, if you have anything you'd like to bring up, you can mention what you have concerns of, but just remember that we cannot actually discuss it because you are not on the agenda for this morning. Does anybody in the audience have anything they would like to say? Okay, and if you think of anything, we'll do another quick call to the public at the end of this meeting. So from here, we will go on to review, discussion, and possible action on approval of minutes from our last meeting, which was December 19, 2024.
So to approve the minutes.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second, easily.
Thank you. And do a roll call for the approval.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Easley.
Aye.
Member Cota.
Aye.
Member Leadley. Motion passes.
All right. Thank you. And then we have also, maybe I should specify that for regular board meetings and executive session, or do we need to do a second roll call vote for the executive session as well?
Because we're online, let's just make it clean. Can we get a motion to vote on the executive session minutes, please?
Okay, so we can have, the motion for approval of the executive session?
Motion to approve executive session. Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Easley?
Aye.
Member Cota?
Aye.
Member Ledley?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. All right, from here we will move on to review. This is section 7, review, discussion, and possible action on applications for licensure. And I know that we do have one person live, so if it's okay, we will skip to them first. So that would be, if you'll forgive me, I'm probably going to mispronounce the name, Michelle Peluso.
You can come on up.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is Jack Confer. I'll read a brief presentation on this particular matter. It starts on page 17 of your board materials. This is case number 2024 RCE0278. Involving applicant Michelle Polito. RCP Polito. Vito was originally licensed with us and held license number 32975, which expired back in November of 2023. She had been licensed from 2018 to 2023 before that expiration. The last previous employer that we have on file back in 2023 was Banner University Medical. There is not a complaint history, and we did have some hits on the public access criminal records search, which is at issue in this particular matter. R.C. Polito disclosed a recent criminal conviction and probation on her most recent application for licensure. Applicant Polito submitted an application on August 17th of 2024. She answered yes to the question, have you ever been convicted or pled no contest, no contendere, or entered into an agreement concerning an arrest or charge? Applicant Polito submitted documentation with that application supporting the yes answer in the form of three different documents. There was a good cause exception notification letter from August of 2024, a notification letter from Maricopa County Probation Department dated July of 2024, and a defense worksheet from 2021. A brief summary of the issue and the reason that we're here to review this application today are the details of the arrest, the conviction, and probation that are at issue. Arresting officer reported in September 2020 that RCP Lee was arrested for driving under the influence. She was stopped in number 3 lane in Glendale. The patch door was open, and that's what alerted the officer to contact the occupants of the car. She was subsequently arrested for that. The officer's report indicates that during the arrest, there was a record check that showed that she had a valid warrant for her arrest because MVD showed her license was suspended from a previous DUI. She was arrested, transported, had a rather high blood alcohol content, and was subsequently convicted of that. The part that I think needs reviewed by the board are two different things. We didn't necessarily receive a report of either one of these arrests within the required 10-day timeframe. And then also, it is not clear based upon the information that was submitted with the application whether or not R.C. Polito is still on probation or has ended that probationary terms, and if there's any other obligations to the court. So I was hoping that the applicant could fill in some of those blanks, give the board a background of what's happened over the last couple of years, and then have the board determine whether or not they feel she is safe to practice and approve the application, and or if there's any other follow-up that we need from a probationary status as far as her licensure is concerned. I don't have anything further unless the board has any questions.
Okay, thank you. So, Ms. Pedillo, would you like to take a few minutes and tell us what has been going on? And I'd like to thank you for being here today.
Yes, so I actually did report these incidents when they happened. I actually had a hearing, I believe it was December of 2021, which I had to, you know, come and be at the hearing, and they ended up dismissing everything on that. I don't exactly remember the date, but it was a 2021 December, which I report. I actually was convicted of the last DUI. Since then, I completed my probation in October of this past year, 2024, so I'm no longer on probation. Also, the charge for that DUI was originally class 6 felony, which by me completing my probation successfully was dropped down to a misdemeanor. So that all has changed since, you know, since I put in the application in August. Some of the details there have actually changed. Like I said, I'm no longer on probation since October, and then at the same time, the judge was able to drop my felony and actually turn it into a misdemeanor, which is where I'm at right now. But my case isn't done in entirety. I don't have to report to anybody at this point anymore.
Okay, thank you. Board members, any questions?
I have a question. When you say that you came to a hearing, had a hearing, was it a hearing with the Arizona Board of Respiratory Care in 2021?
Yes, it was. So when those when I had those charges, so that my DUI happened in 2020. I believe it was actually 2022 when my hearing happened, because I the actual arrest happened in 2020, but it was a very, very busy time for the courts at that time because of COVID. I didn't actually receive any paperwork from the courts for me to appear until July 2022, which is when I reported it to the board, and at that time they scheduled my hearing for December of 2022. I was actually convicted in January of 2023, but I had already came to my hearing at that point.
Board members, this is Donita. I was able to find the case on the December 2022 agenda for case number 2022 RCE0130.
CEUs that I was able to submit along with my renewal application.
Great. Thank you very much. I don't have anything further.
So there's two charges. You said one was reduced to a misdemeanor. Does that mean the other one is still on your criminal record?
So they both are on my criminal record. One of them, however, was a felony. The other one was a misdemeanor.
The old one, the older one, or the more recent one?
No, so I have two. I was arrested two different times. The first one was just a misdemeanor DUI. The second one, because my license had been suspended, was actually a felony. For me, it would be a class 4 felony, which means I would never be able to get that off my record. So going through my case, they offered me a plea agreement in which I was able to have a misdemeanor DUI along with an endangerment charge, which is the class 6 felony. And that's what I took. So for my last DUI case, I was charged with a misdemeanor DUI along with an endangerment charge, which is a felony. But following my successful completion of probation, that charge was actually able to drop down to a misdemeanor. So both of my charges in my last case are now a misdemeanor.
And could you share with us why you would like to practice respiratory care again?
This is what I've always wanted to do. You know, I worked really hard, you know, to be able to finish school.
Thank you for sharing your heart.
Thank you. And so the question I have for you is, with this, do you think you have coping skills in place now to help you to avoid the situation again?
Yeah, I think just going through it just, you know, made me learn my lesson, I guess, and kind of think about the consequences of my actions a little bit more. Like I said, I worked really hard, you know, to be able to become a respiratory therapist, and I came all this way from California to work here, and it's just what I've always wanted to do.
Mark, here, may I ask a question to Jack? Jack, during this time that she was on the two DUIs, was she communicating with the respiratory board about her status of where she was with the court system?
Madam Chair, Board Member Brimhall, between late 21 and the end of 22, the records that we have in the office are sparse. So I'm not going to be able to give you a 100% answer on that, what the communication was at that time. I am glad that the board resolved the first DUI report in 2022. I think my position would still be that those were not reported within the 10 days as required. However, having said that, since this application, she's been responsive. She's here today to talk to the board. And we're going to have to take all those in-betweens and soft skills and determine whether or not the board feels that she can practice without some sort of rehabilitation consent agreement, or if the board is more comfortable with a rehabilitative consent agreement for licensing. As far as my recommendation to the board, I really don't have one. It's close either way, in my opinion. I think she should, my recommendation would be for the board to consider issuing the license. whether it's encumbered or unencumbered. I think we need to talk about that. Hopefully that helps a little, board member Brimhall.
Thank you. Hi, this is board member Easley. So I should make sure I have this correct. So both of these are back in 2020, 2022. We had a hearing. I'm suspecting, based off of our history, that we left the monitoring and all of that to the courts, because that's what we normally do, right? So we normally say the courts are going to impose a sentence that will include some monitoring, usually an interlock device, which applicant Polito alluded to. And so it sounds like she went through that whole process. It's my understanding from what was said that all of the probation was completed in October 2024. And so I'm guessing now that we don't have an interlock device, we've completed all of that because we're through the whole kind of court legal process. So now we're at the point of saying, you know, applicant Polito would like to come back and practice. I agree. I think we should consider giving her a license. I think the conversation we need to have is, do we feel like there's been a successful period of monitoring and that we feel comfortable with that applicant Polito will not be endangering the public in general while she's on the job? Or do we feel like we need to have any kind of monitoring program, which we've done in the past for a short period of time to ensure that the safety of the public? And so I think that's what we need to talk about here.
I agree. So I think a little bit of my question still is just kind of, was this due to stress? Was this just you having fun? And as you said, you got it out of, you know, you learned from your mistakes. Because if it's from stress, I'm just still wanting to kind of know, you know, do you have good coping skills with that now from your counseling? Do you have a process set up to help you cope with stress? You know, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
I feel like, you know, I must have had advice as many of you are, 25 years now, almost. Like I said, I've gone through the whole process. I did my probation. The first couple months of my probation, I was actually monitored almost daily, where I would have received a text message every morning if they wanted me to come in and do a blood test, an alcohol test, I would have to go in. So I did that for, I'm going to say the first 3 months of my probation, where I would go, it started off 3-4 times a week, I would have to come in and do an alcohol test, and it progressively got to the point where I didn't have to do it anymore. So I feel like I've done a lot of monitoring and a lot of counseling for where I don't think I would have that problem anymore.
Okay, thank you. Any additional thoughts or questions from the board members?
I have a couple of just direct questions. One is, do you drink now to relieve stress?
No.
And have you ever in the past drank or done any other substances before going to work?
No. And I want to add to that, I've never received any complaints, as a respiratory therapist working. I worked really hard, during COVID. I was at Banner University Medical Center, which is a huge hospital. I was able to, do anything there, from the ICU, floors, ER. I was very dedicated at what I did, and I never received any complaints. I never mixed, my personal life or stress into my work.
Thank you for that. I know COVID was very stressful for all of us.
I did also travel, during that time. I went to Texas for a FEMA contract for about 3 months. So, like I said, I worked really hard, and through that time, I was able to, to separate, my stress from my actual job.
Graduated from respiratory school in 2022 and currently holds a license in Florida. He subsequently obtained his RRT credential in April of 2023. Applicant Ramirez kind of said yes, that he had been arrested, convicted in the past on his application, and he submitted attachments to that. The reason that I thought that the review was necessary is because it is unclear why he answered yes to the question, because he subsequently disclosed in his application that he's not even sure why he answered yes, because the conviction was dismissed. So when we ran his fingerprint background check, the case came in and indicated there was some type of no-lo plea. So my dilemma, or the reason I brought this to the board, is that I'm not sure he answered yes on his application. He had been arrested, convicted, or entered in a no-lo plea. Then he subsequently told us that it had been completely dismissed and that nothing had happened. If you will look on page 14 of the board materials, the respondent statements are applicant Ramirez's response to the application and answer discrepancy were: hello, in regards to disciplinary action, I did not need to form a plea of agreement, nor did I get convicted. The arrest was for suspicion of DUI. However, after breath and urine testing, they concluded I had zero substance alcohol in my system. I was driving my friend home in suburban close to our home due to me being tired after a late night. Upon request, I can look for public records for this case. I apologize for any non-disclosure. I have the impression that in the arrest, with the defendant not pleading to any agreement or conviction, was necessary to disclose. So, I'm not sure if he was convicted and he entered into a no plea and it subsequently was dismissed, and that's the reason he disclosed it, or he's saying that it was completely dismissed because they found no alcohol in his system. I did not include the actual fingerprint FBI results because they're confidential, but I will tell the board that in that particular report from the FBI, there is a no-lo type of statement in there. So I'm just not sure if he answered the question appropriately, if he entered into a no-lo agreement, because he has not sent anything to us like that. Other than that, there are no other red flags with his particular application, other than me not being able to understand what he's trying to tell us about this yes answer on his application.
Jack, I'm also confused because there's a paragraph I'm looking at in my materials from applicant Ramirez that says he was not convicted and entered a plea deal for it being his first offense and was placed on a year of probation.
Yeah.
And then became a Florida RT license. So that's not what he said in the other answer. This is a different answer. That it was a first offense plea down.
Correct. If you're looking at page 16, we got two different responses from him. And that's where I'm going to the misrepresentation part, because it's not clear to me what he's trying to disclose to us. And I understand how you can downplay something that's happened in your past, but I don't know if it rises to a misrepresentation on an application or not. So it was just very unclear to me, and that's why I wanted the board to review this particular application.
I think downplaying is one thing, but there's two very different answers here. The answers don't match. So I agree. I think we do need to talk to him.
And is there any way we can try to get further records or further information?
Madam Chair, members of the board, one of two things. We can ask for those records directly from him. We can also send out subpoenas to the court police department down in Palm Beach County to try to obtain those records separately.
But why would we ask him to do it? He needs to take responsibility himself to furnish it. So I think I'm going to do a motion that will table this, invite him to come for the next board meeting. And if he doesn't come to the next board meeting, I mean, he needs the license. He's requesting the license.
Agreed. I second that.
And if he can bring that, he should bring the official court paperwork. He should have copies of all of that. Yeah. So if he wants this license, we need to see the actual documentation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we have been spend our efforts on that.
Agreed.
Was that a motion, Dr. Eastman?
Sure.
I'll motion to table this until the next meeting. And I'd like to instruct staff to request that he bring the official court documentation with him so that we can make a decision on his initial application.
And I second it, Leslie.
Thank you. And roll call vote, please.
That was Member Easley.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cota.
Aye.
Member Liebley.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you very much. And from there, we will move on to, if I can get my screen here working, item C, which is Matt Wilson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is an application review for applicant Mark Wilson. Applicant Wilson did not disclose a criminal background on his license application. He submitted an application on February 18th of 2024, graduated from respiratory school in 1990, holds licenses in several other states. He obtained his RRT credential in June of 1997. Applicant Wilson did not disclose an arrest or conviction that occurred in June of 2017 in Newport Beach, California. It was a DUI. He was convicted of that, and he has a lengthy description. There are two items of concern for me on this one. Number one, he didn't disclose the criminal conviction. It happened quite some time ago. It would not be something that I would normally bring to the board. However, the second part of this is that he has a recent disciplinary action from the California Board of Respiratory Care, which is more in my concern given the allegations. If you look at page 2 of the report, he states that my California license was put on probation by the Respiratory Care Board as part of a settlement following investigation of allegations made by a former manager in March of 2022. The manager made 19 allegations from which two separate shifts I had worked. Many of the allegations were refuted by an expert witness hired by the Respiratory Care Board. Included in the allegation were counts of mistreatments, misdocumentation. Although I could refute, defend most of these allegations, I could not refute several instances of missing treatments or documentation. I could not recall everything I had or had not documented. And I was advised by counsel to settle rather than litigate due to a large number of accusations. If found liable for even one documentation offense, the board would still revoke my license. He goes on to explain why he believes these allegations came forward, some of the aggravating circumstances. That's all on page 59. And I believe the disciplinary action was filed in February of 2024. So it's a rather recent action by the California Board of Respiratory Care. I'm trying to find, for some reason, the decree of censure stands out in my mind, but he has a formal disciplinary action. The pleading and accusations are on page 70 through about 76. So that was the concern with this particular application was the recent disciplinary action from the Board of California Board of Respiratory Care. I don't have anything further unless you have questions.
Yeah, I remember reading this one earlier when I was preparing, looking at the material, and this one did give me some pause because, as you said, there is both things going on with this one.
Yep.
I would do a motion that we invite him for next board meeting if it's in that time frame of the 35 days notice, because I think there's a lot of questions that we need to ask of him, and only he has the material.
I heard an echo. I'm not sure who that was.
Lori was second.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Laidley?
Aye.
Member Cota?
Aye.
Motion passes. I'm sorry. I apologize. Here, from the beginning, Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Laidley?
Aye.
Member Cota?
Aye.
Member Easley?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries.
Okay, thank you very much. So from there, we shall move on to Section 8, which is elections of officers. Pursuant to ARS 32-35038.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is a thing in statute where we are required to meet every January, and one of the things that we're required to do is elect officers. I see no reason why we can't do that today, but it's up to the board. And we would accept a nomination. The way that I would suggest that we work is we first do the board chair. If we have a nomination from the floor and then a vote, same for vice chair, nomination from the board and then a vote on the vice chair. So calling for nominations, is there any nominations for the 2025 chair position? And I will say that usually when people are not here, they get picked on. However, that's entirely up to the board. We're establishing leadership in 2025. We have a sunset review going on. And the chair and vice chair are going to have a little more work this year than other normal years. So just an FYI.
Do we know if our current chair and vice chair, and they're normally here, so are they wishing to continue in leadership positions?
I don't think they would say no, but I have not specifically asked either one of them that question.
I would just like to talk to them.
So from my perspective, the board, current board chair and vice chair have been on board for a very long time. They are existing in appointments that are expired, and they could be replaced and reappointed at any given time. So looking into the future, you may want to consider that, or you may want to keep things the same way they are. I don't know. I don't get involved in board elections because basically you're my employer. So
I think I am as well. So there's that. Well, my two cents is, as I would probably say, let's keep the current chair and vice chair in place as they are. We have a lot of work to be done this year, and if their term is terminated, then we can always go back and do that, since I did not hear from any other board members wanting to be chair or vice chair. Because I think that they have the history of the board, and we need the history very much so right now as we are completing these tasks to our review boards that we are responsible for this year.
Yeah, I think that's
a good point. That's the knowledge.
They've been through so much with us that it's been something that they would be willing to continue to support us through this transition phase, especially as some of our newer board members learn, you know, the ins and outs of how to run the board. They've certainly done a fantastic job for us.
Well, I'm going to do a motion that our current chair and vice chair go ahead and do it, and then, you know, if something happens in this next year, then we'll go back to, you know, chair or vice chair down the road for nominees.
So the way I heard, Madam Chair, members of the board, the way I heard that is board member Brimhall made a motion to keep current chair and vice chair for 2025. Is that fair?
Yes.
Do we have a second?
Dr. Easley.
So we have a motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Easley.
Aye.
Member Cota.
Aye.
Member Ledley.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. And now we'll move on to you, Jack.
It's
the director report.
I'm going to keep this short and sweet, if you don't mind. I uploaded the current budget, the list of current applications that we have, as well as the applications that were approved for 2025. Deputy Director Lassen was nice enough to set up spreadsheets for 2025 so that we can start tracking everything that we need to in response to the auditor general's report. I haven't uploaded that, but I'm personally pleased with the direction that we're going with the applications, the time it takes to process those applications. Kat's doing a good job. She's probably tired of me looking over her shoulder on every single application and every time frame, but I have seen we went from an average, as reported last month, about 150 days for processing applications down to about 60 days processing all average of all applications. We had one respiratory therapist that was licensed years ago that applied. We got her license within 2 weeks of the application. That is the review of the application, the field print. When an applicant submits everything that we need, it's a very short time frame. So to have somebody licensed, permanently licensed within 2 weeks is very good as far as I'm concerned. So we're monitoring all that stuff. We're doing good with budget. We have right now for this fiscal year, I believe it was about $53,000 that we're not planning to spend. That's a good position to be in at mid-year. So we're okay with the appropriation. And the last thing I have is tomorrow is the committee of legislative committee of reference hearing for our sunset review. It's tomorrow at 9 o'clock. I have drafted a PowerPoint presentation. I did not get a chance to get that uploaded in the materials, but I will send it out after the meeting so everybody can take a look at it. It's basically a 15-minute PowerPoint presentation that I'm going to give to the committee of reference after the Auditor General talks to this committee of reference. The Sunset Committee of Reference is a joint legislative committee, from health board, from health members, from the Senate, and health members from the House of Representatives. And they review the sunset audit and make a recommendation to the full legislature how many years an agency that's going through sunset should be renewed. The word on the street is they're already doing 2-year renewals for everybody. We did not have an Auditor General's report. So if we get a 2-year renewal, I think you and I should be very happy about that. I won't know how it goes until after the presentation. So I'll let you know, and then we'll know what that recommendation is going into the full legislative session. The PowerPoint presentation basically is a synopsis of what we've done over the last year since I got back to the agency. The efficiencies we put in place, the database conversion, all new staff, policies and procedures. We're going to give them a quick snapshot of everything that we've done since the last administration left. Hopefully that will carry us through with a renewal. We won't have to worry about consolidation or anything else. So I'll send that PowerPoint out after we get done with the meeting. Does anybody have any questions on that quick summary? Anything at all? Everybody had a good holiday?
Thank you for putting the PowerPoint together and going tomorrow.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Janina is going to keep a close rein on me and make sure I don't get out of hand. Right, Janina?
That's right.
Yeah.
I'd also like to say thank you to you and Kat and Zanita for all the hard work you guys have been doing and for getting through all those licensures and license renewals. Thank you so much.
Happy to help.
Thank you. I'm pretty impressed that we're granting licenses in 2 weeks. I mean, I've been a board member as long as this board's existed. Not a board member, I mean a respiratory licensee as long as this board's existed, and I can't even believe 2 weeks. That's great. That's great.
Yes, thank you. We want to keep on that trend, too. Madam Chair, any other items? We have some future items. The board meeting dates, we're trying to get back to that third Thursday of every month. So the next one is February 20th. I think we have one hearing scheduled, and it will be a little larger on the investigative side. There will be a lot of cases on the February meeting. So just FYI.
Thank you. Can I ask a question? Is it always okay that we join virtually?
It's the preference of the board. Things have definitely changed after COVID, as everybody knows. I am happy to continue providing the Google Meets, and if everybody's comfortable with doing it this way, we can continue on doing it this way. We finally got the sound worked out, so there's no huge echo. So I don't mind continuing to do virtual meetings at all.
I'll say for me, since I've joined the board, my schedule has changed drastically, and I work a lot more clinically than I did before. And so my second reappointment is kind of at the end of that, and have considered leaving only because it's hard for me to get to the board, and but I hate to leave you without a position member. So having the virtual option does help sometimes when I can't come in person so that I can still participate. So I like having that option. I love coming in person too. I always think it's better to be in person if we can, but having that option when we can't is nice.
Yeah, but we will, if it's okay with everybody, if there's no opposition, we will continue to offer this and put it on every agenda.
And then my other question is, how do I learn what a conflict of interest, and then you mentioned the other, there were two persons. Yeah, so, yeah. How do I learn what those are? I was just concerned because the last meeting that I was able to be at, one of the people that were present was somebody that I worked with, and so I just didn't know if that would be considered a conflict of interest.
Board member, Lee, it's a fantastic question, and I'll probably defer to our Assistant Attorney General to answer that. But because we have new board membership periodically in the past, we have done a little half-hour training for board members on recusals, conflict of interest, and that sort of thing. So if possible, Assistant Attorney General Hober, we can do that in the near future, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah, I need that. I feel a little bit like I don't know what I'm doing. So, pretty nice. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. We'll get that on the back agenda.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to know if it's somebody you work with peripherally, but, you know, at what point does it rise to that level? I agree.
Well, and what's going to happen when one of my 250 employees are sitting there, right? That's obviously going to be a conflict of interest. So, okay. All right. I just don't need to learn. Thank you.
Yep.
And just one more thing. I have some health situations going on, so hopefully I can be available. I ended up in the hospital again over Christmas with sepsis and lost a week. So I plan on being there and I'm doing good, but I think I missed the last meeting because of health stuff. So you're putting up with me. I want to be here.
From my perspective, Chair members of the board, board member Lee, we are a team, and we will continue to function in that manner, just like today. There's a full board of seven people. We got the minimum quorum together to get the meeting done and move things forward. And I appreciate you sitting on the board. And I still remember that initial conversation that we had a year and a half ago, and we talked about board membership. So huge thank you for me.
Colin, you're welcome. I love it. I'm glad to be here, and I hope I can continue. So thank you for, you know, consideration and understanding.
Yep.
Okay, thank you so much. So with that, we talked about future items and meeting days. Do we have anything else that we need? And I know that they'll need to do a roll call for the member of the attendance in the audience. Are we okay to go ahead and adjourn before they do that?
Yeah, Chad, are we good with continuing education? Do you need to do a roll call or anything?
See everybody.
I can do a quick roll call.
Go ahead.
Bazilla? Alfred? Garen?
Yes.
And Margaret? Yes, everybody's here.
Great. And do we have anybody online that's here for continuing education to check in? Madam mm-hmm. Chair, the floor is yours for adjournment.
Okay, thank you everyone so much for being here today, and we will adjourn, and I have 10:01.
Thank you.
Thank you.